Soon I'll come to the end of my journey, and I'll meet the one who gave his life for me. I will thank him for the love that he gave me, and 10,000 years or more I'll reign with him. 10,000 years will just be started. 10,000 years will just be gone. The battle's over and the victory's been won. 10,000 years and we've just begun. We will just begin to sing love's sweet story. It's a song that the angels cannot sing. Savior, and 10,000 years or more I'll praise his name. 10,000 years will just be started. 10,000 years will just be gone. The victory's been won. 10,000 years and we've just begun.
It is our great privilege to join you today in a study of the Bible brought to you by the Hamilton Church of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Here we see the Apostle Paul appeals to the church for unity. He talks about a oneness that the church is to have, all speaking the same thing and all being perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. This unity that it is God's desire for the church to have can only be attained by our studying the Bible and uniting together on the things that the Bible teaches. So it's most important and most beneficial for us to study this Word of God. And we invite you to join us today in our short study.
Minutes are passing, there's no time to waste. We must be ready on that great judgment day, to meet the Savior and look on his face. Inside the city where loved ones now wait, we are
swiftly passing, yes, we're
going away, away,
going to be with him some that
day, happy day, this day. There'll be
great rejoicing on the
way up above, to join the millions singing in perfect love. Sinner, be ready when the trumpet sounds, to meet the Savior when we rise from the ground, and sail away to the home of the soul, forever to live and never grow old. We are
swiftly passing, yes, we're
going away, away,
going to be with him some bad
day, happy day, blessed day. There'll be
great rejoicing on the
way up above, to join the millions singing in perfect love.
We are very pleased at this time to continue our study in the book of Romans. We're still in the first chapter of Romans and ready to begin at the 25th verse. In this passage that we have before us today, The Apostle Paul is showing the need that the Gentiles have for the gospel. He's showing the need they have for the salvation that God's plan offers to man through this gospel message. And in doing this, he paints a picture of man at his very lowest. He paints a picture of man when he is in a very depraved state, when he's found without God. This picture is very troubling to us. It's disturbing to read about it. It's not pleasant. And what makes it even more troubling and disturbing is that this is actually the condition man is in today when he's found without God, and it's a condition that potentially each one of us could be into if we do not follow God. And so we'd like to begin back at the 22nd verse and read there on up to our verse 25. Verse 22, chapter 1 of Romans. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So in this picture, God is giving of man when he is without God, man at his very lowest. He says that, verse 24, that God gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts. Man, after tempting and trying God for so long, finally found himself to be in a state in which God had given him up. God gave him up. And this is mentioned three times in this passage. He says he gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts. Now, one of the most devastating punishments that man can be given is for him to be given over to the lust of his own heart. Any group of persons who are given up to the lust of their own hearts without God find themselves in a very deplorable and depraved condition. This doesn't apply to animals, but it does apply to man. When man is left to his own devices, when man is left to the lust of his own heart, he sinks to the very depths. And he describes it here. He says that through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. This is talking about sexual sins. This is talking about sexual impurity. They dishonored their own bodies between themselves. Let me tell you this. There may be those who would want to claim that there is no such thing as a sexual sin. There is no such thing as man doing something wrong in the area of sex. But the Bible plainly points out that there is. There are certain things that are sexual sins. There are certain things here that causes a person to dishonor his own body with the person of another body. And so he says in verse 25, we change the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So they simply have to take the truth of God, whatever that truth happens to be, and change it into a lie. And what they did here was they served the creature more than the Creator. They gave the creature more power, more glory, more honor, more religious reverence than they gave the Creator. They gave things that they created themselves more honor, plus they gave their fellow human beings more honor than they gave God. And then he interjects in the last part of verse 25, when mentioning the Creator, he says, who is blessed forever. Amen. Let's just not forget that the Creator is to be blessed. He is blessed forever. There is never a time when the Creator receives less blessing than the creature. That's just the general scheme of things. That's the way it is, and he emphasizes that here again. Then in verse 26, he again says, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. So God gave them up. It's reemphasized here again. Man given over to his own devices. Here he calls it vile affections, which really means shameful lusts. And it all still ties in with this original statement in verse 24, the uncleanness to the lust of their own hearts. These shameful lusts include sexual sins as well as other lusts. Anything that is a shame and a degradation to man can be classified as a shameful lust. And So he gave them up to the shameful lust or vile affections. Then he further describes this. He says, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. He's still talking about sexual sins, and this has to be the sin of homosexuality he's describing here. This is one of the most plain and explicit scriptures about the sin of homosexuality. And he describes it. Women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Now, this may not be very pleasant to talk about. This may go against the general ideas and mores of mankind today, but the Bible plainly lays out the fact that there is a way that women can dishonor themselves. Women can do something that's not natural, that's against nature, and it's a sin, and it's a sexual sin. He's talking about homosexuality. And then he further describes this in verse 27, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly. It's homosexuality. You cannot get around it. The Bible is condemning it here. It's not a natural way to live according to the Bible. It's not something that should be according to the Bible. And if we want to forget about God, if we want to put God out of our memory, if we want to declare that there are other things more honorable than God is, then we can find ourselves feeling like that this is a good way to live, this is an acceptable way to live. But the Bible plainly condemns it here, and if we're going to follow the Bible, we're going to have to recognize the fact that this is something that is openly condemned by the Bible. And then he concludes that verse by saying, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. What he's simply saying here is that as a result of these unnatural acts, as a result of this homosexuality, they're receiving punishments, recompense, certain rewards that's a result of their error, which was appropriate for the action. The rewards, the punishment is appropriate due to the graveness of their sin, to the greatness of the errors they're committing. And certainly we see today that regardless of how much anyone would want to deny it, the people who are guilty of these sins have certain diseases, certain physical as well as mental problems that the average person doesn't have. We're talking about such things as the AIDS virus and such things as hepatitis B, which runs rampant among those who commit these sins. And so other punishments go with this that we may not even be aware of. But the Bible plainly tells us that this is not the way man and woman are to live. This is not the kind of behavior they're to indulge in. This is a result of having been given over by God to their shameful lust, having been given over by God to this lust of their own heart, this sexual impurity, this vile affections, he calls it here in King James, and it's not a way that we want to live. He says, men with men working that which is unseemly. These are indecent acts, according to the New International Version. And then they receive in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet or which was appropriate. So in verse 28 he says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So one of the key problems here is they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They didn't like to think about God or the things of God. They didn't want to admit that God has a feeling about this. And when we get to the point that we don't want to keep God in our knowledge, when we get to the point that we are not satisfied or do not feel comfortable with what God thinks and how God feels about what we're doing, and then we start casting God out, then again, he says, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. He gives us over to that kind of a mind too. God will give up on you if you just try hard enough to cast God out. After a while, God gives up on you. Then you're left with no moral guidance. You're left with nothing that would check you from becoming the very lowest of the low, becoming so depraved that It's a shame to even talk about your actions. And so he says he gave them over to a reprobate mind. The word reprobate here simply means depraved or a morally depraved mind. When we have a mind that is a mind that doesn't have any morality attached to it, a mind that has no principles, that has no true feeling for the will of God, then that mind can lead us into all kinds of terrible actions. He says to do those things which are not convenient. Another translation of not convenient simply means what ought not to be done, things that ought not to be done. You're going to be doing things that you shouldn't be doing when you are given over to this depraved mind. So let us not be deceived into thinking that these actions that are so reprehensible, these actions that are such a shame to even have to talk about, let's not be deceived into thinking that they're okay, that they're something that we might can do, that we might want to do. These are things that God frowns upon, and they're things that the Apostle Paul chooses to show how low down man actually can get without God, and also show what a grave need that man has for the gospel message, for the righteousness, and for the forgiveness that comes with the gospel. He's talking here primarily about the Gentiles. The case of the Jew is going to come later in the book, but right now he's talking about the condition the Gentiles have gotten into by not retaining God in their knowledge. And so in verse 29, he begins to talk about some of these specific sins that he names. He names about 23 things here. These are known named sins by the apostle. And so verse 29 says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers. In this verse, he names some 11 things that are sins that we need to know about, things that man is guilty of when he turns against God. These are things that human beings naturally lend themselves to when they have been given up by God to follow the lust of their own heart. He says in verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness. That is, they are full of these sins. They have these sins in abundance. It's just not a rare, occasional thing to be found among societies that have been given up by God. These are things that are there in abundance. They're filled with these things. They're easy to find, easy to see these sins. They do stand out as characteristics of the behavior of persons who are without God. Filled with all unrighteousness is the first thing he mentions. And this is all sin, anything against God. Any injustice or inequity in general would come under this classification of unrighteousness. And then he begins to name these things more specifically, and he says the next thing is fornication. This is all sexual sins. This is not just homosexuality mentioned earlier, but these are sins found in all ages, found in the most learned and the most ignorant of people. The sexual sins, illicit sexual behavior or sexual activity. Fornication is named here, and the Bible does name this in several places. So let there be no mistake about the fact that the Bible does legislate clearly about what is wrong in the area of sexual behavior. The next sin mentioned is wickedness. Now this is evil in general. It is a desire to injure others, a desire to want to inflict injury on others. A desire to do this, not some accidental injury to others, but a purposeful desire to bring about injury. It doesn't have to be just injury to the person. It can also be injury to property. This would include also such things as vandalism or wanton destruction just for the fun of it. The next sin is covetousness. Now, this word means greed. It's the inordinate desire for gain. And it actually includes the desire of obtaining that which belongs to others. And you can see how this would cause our actions to be improper actions. We would want to obtain things that are not ours. It includes stealing. include the desire for another's property that would cause us to maybe lie or cheat some way to try to get that. Covetousness. The next thing he names is maliciousness. This is a depraved state in which the actual act of committing the harm is done. It's not just the desire to do it, but it's actually an act itself, carrying it out. And also includes with it the idea of unprovoked acts. These are actions in which harm would be done to others, and there was no provocation. You hear about people having drive-by shootings, where they just randomly shoot somebody as they drive by in a car, or someone standing and throwing a rock through a windshield of a car that they don't even know the person in the car. But it's an act that is not provoked, just wickedness for the sake of doing wickedness. The next thing he names is full of envy. Now, envy is actually a condition that is an uneasiness or discontent at another's prosperity. This is the condition in which we would feel bad at another person's good fortune, although it doesn't take anything away from us. It hasn't deprived us of anything at all, hadn't hindered us anyway, but just because of that person's good fortune, we have a bad feeling about it. And it also carries with it the desire to depreciate the person or to bring harm to this person because of the good fortune they've had, and we have pleasure in seeing this person brought down or depressed some way. Envy, a very common feeling, but one that is much more common, one that takes over our emotions whenever we are given up to the lust of our own heart. The next thing he names is murder. This is simply the taking of human life by premeditated malice. And the further away persons get from God, the less they think of this crime of murder, the less it becomes an offense, the more common it is in lawless societies. It's a sin, it's named here as a sin, and we need to regard it as such. The next thing he names is debate. Now, this word doesn't include the idea of debate like we think of it in our society today, in which we discuss matters that we may have a difference about. This is really a strife. This is a contention connected with anger and heated zeal. Not just some argument, but this is strife that causes discontent and lack of peace and harmony among persons. The next thing he names is deceit. Now, deceit simply means fraud or deception or falsehood. This is deceiving somebody in some way or another. This is causing someone to believe one thing when it's not the truth. They've been misled. And many times it is with the idea of either getting gain or preventing someone to know what our true nature or actions are. The next sin he names is malignity. Now, this is malice. This is actually interpreted to mean the causing the words or actions of others to look as bad as possible. This is painting someone else in a bad light and taking their actions or taking their words out, maybe out of context, and twisting them to give them a bad meaning so as to reflect a bad image on this person. The next thing he named is whisperers. This is really gossips. This is saying bad things about others in a secretive manner. And as we know, all persons can be guilty of this. This is a very degrading action, and it's at the root of a lot of society's problems. Whisperers. Now, this is verse 29 we just finished. Verse 30 names some more of these sins. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. We'd like to note here that we have a category of sins that are being named. And many times people say, well, the Bible doesn't specify this, doesn't specify that. But here God's Word is specifying some things that are known sins that we can read about, we can look up the meaning of them, and we can make an application of them to our lives so that we can determine if we're pleasing to God or not. The first thing named in verse 30 is backbiters. Now, this is a word meaning slanderers, of others when they are absent, saying bad things about persons to their back. But backbiters are more public with it. Where the whisperers did it in a secretive manner, the backbiters do it in a more public manner. They're more open with it, but still it's in the absence of the other person. The next thing you name is haters of God. Now this is the lowest form of depravity. This is the fruit of human wickedness. The more things we do that are displeasing to God, the more we want to get God out of our minds, and the more we see that we are displeasing to God, then we can develop this attitude of being a hater of God. We do not like the authority of God. We do not like the authority of this Creator ruling over us. And so we want to get God out of our very mind. Then he says despiteful. This actually means insolent. Now this is rude and disrespectful of authority. Rude and disrespectful of authority. And the actions here are done toward those when they are present. It's an insulting somebody or disrespecting somebody in their presence, being rude to them. Now it differs from whisperers and backbiters who do it when others are absent. These despiteful persons, these insolent persons, do it in their very presence. So these are sins that we need to know about and try to refrain from. Our time has expired for our lesson today. Till next time, this is NC Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.
Down from his glory, ever-living story, my God and Savior came, and Jesus was his name. Born in a manger, to his own a stranger, a man of sorrows, tears, and death.